Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you, and we are on the road today. Hail Varsity is at Seacrest Field here in Lincoln ahead of Burke and Lincoln Southeast. All quiet right now, and it's heated up, man. It is hot outside. It is warm. It is sunny. A little bit of a breeze out of the northeast with the American flag whipping in the wind. And, man, you can't wait. It is football season. We've been building up for Nebraska on Saturday. High school football tonight. I'll have that over in Lincoln on KFOR for the play-by-play. And good to be with you as Hail Varsity on the road quite a bit. We love taking road shows to different venues. Seacrest Field right now ahead of Burke Southeast. Tomorrow, don't forget, we're at the Graduate 4 to 6. Still time to get signed up on ESPNLincoln.com to be part of the longest drive competition. We'll take some qualifiers throughout the show, and we are busy today. We are loaded up. Coming up, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star, with us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk some Nebraska football, get his thoughts on Scott Frost's media meeting today. No word on Mo. We'll get into that in a moment. Kind of your feelings as we're on the doorstep of the season with Nebraska is what 2019 can become or maybe resigned to. There's so much hype, so much excitement, but there's that prove it factor that I think is in the back of a lot of Nebraska fans' minds. Not that it won't be better, but what's better going to look like, right? Coach Lamangi is going to be with us. Omaha Burke's head football coach at 4:40. At 5 o'clock, Gary Barnett will join us. We'll talk some college football with Coach Barnett and check in on those Buffs a little early as they have Colorado State, affectionately known as the Tear Gas Bowl. I think they kick it off with the Rams, the Buffs and the Rams, tomorrow night. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com, going to be with us at 5:25, and then you're going to want to hear from a team that's got a lot of oomph this year. Lincoln Southeast comes in as one of the favorites in Class A. Coach Ryan Gatula will join us at 5:40. You can dial up 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Give us a follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone at Two Birds, One Stone's where you find Colton. And can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. I have got to tip my cap to the great folks here with LPS and Seacrest Complex. Not only did they let me in early to do the road show, Colton, we now have air conditioning in the booth. I have a window open because I'm not trying to waste anyone's money, I promise you that, but we're going to put the windows open a little bit later for kickoff tonight at 7 o'clock. I have the windows open. Pretty soon, Southeast and Burke will show up and get warm-ups going. So it's all for the whole Nat sound, my friend, but usually this thing's a sweat box in here and I lose 30 pounds. It's been a good thing, but I'll take the air, my friend.
Yeah, and you know, you've got probably the hottest day that we're going to have for the, I don't want to say rest of the year, but you know, if you were calling this game tomorrow, you know, it'd be a lot different. But yeah, that AC and get that Nat sound with the window open. It's going to be a perfect night for the start of high school football.
And dude,
I think
good.
Everyone's geared up for college football, but just as much for high school too.
Yeah, high school is a ton of fun. Let's start off though and chat about the decision Nebraska fans are waiting on, are wanting, and the decision that still looms when it comes to Nebraska football. What is going to happen with Maurice Washington? And here is Coach Frost on that, well, unmade decision right now.
We haven't decided yet. The decision is going to be made before kickoff, before the game starts on Saturday. And I guess you guys will know then.
Okay. We'll know then, and that's completely coach's prerogative. That is the administration's prerogative. And, Colton, we've been talking about this all week. We started touching on this on Monday with the press conference. What is going to happen with Maurice Washington? And I was talking to a buddy earlier in the week, and let's flip it around. Instead of standout recruit, high school phenom, and big-time contributor as a true freshman, Maurice Washington, let's take the helmet off of him. Let's take the mouthpiece out. Let's take the shoulder pads away. And let's say Maurice Washington, the – can we go clarinet or can we go trombone? Let's go trombone. Let's say Maurice Washington, the trombone player. And I don't know what the marching band's policy is, but would you bar a kid – from participating in extracurricular activities or playing in the marching band or the pep band, or let's turn it into something other than football, or number 24 Nebraska takes the field against South Alabama. That's really the question here, and you're wrestling with what to do. I mean, you have charges pending. You have practiced Maurice Washington. He is gone at practice, been a good teammate, done what he needs to do to this point per the coaching staff, and it's still unresolved here. And that is, I don't know, that is a little bit surprising in one instance where somebody's got to make the call, and it's got to be a powwow here between coach, between university, between athletic department, and you got three entities here that are going to have that say. And while you can have each entity having their own opinion, yet it still comes down to a yes or a no, and not all votes are equal here. Somebody's eventually going to have the heaviest vote, right? The most weight with their say, even if there's disagreement. Say the athletic department and the coach want Mo to play, but the university's like, no, not going to happen. The university wins. The athletic department and the AD will his word rules. And it is higher on the old food chain than the head coaches. So, you know, what do you do? What's the harm here if you play Maurice Washington? Well, the backlash because you have things pending. But it's just that. It is pending, and it is innocent till proven guilty in this country with whatever you're charged with. So if he were to play, it would be a situation that I'm okay with because things are still pending. Do you have to play him? No. Do you sit him because it's part of the punishment, or are you sitting him because things are unresolved? And if you sit him because things are unresolved, then that comes down to the legal process and how long things have taken, right? I mean, prosecutors in California move on kind of their own timeline. This thing's been pushed back. And the blowback by holding off on this decision, and we touched on it with Mitch Sherman a little bit too, if he does play on Saturday and it's a last-minute decision, you might take some guff next week for it, but it's a big week with Colorado. They're all big every week. If you sit him, but then things are resolved by the 3rd of September, that's the next court situation. We'll talk more with Parker Gabriel on this. You can have some clarity here by early next week moving forward. So this is a long-winded way of saying, I guess I'd be surprised if he's playing. It's ultimately, Colton, somebody's decision here that they got to make before things kick off at 11 o'clock, and no one's made their call yet.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think that the three people that are dealing with this are having this exact conversation behind closed doors, and I think basically what Frost's comment is saying is that, you know, they've talked about it, but they haven't really come to a full agreement, it seems like. So I'm between, like, do you sit him maybe for a half for some of the off the field stuff, as well as like the pending legal, like the things that happen.
Yeah, what
summer.
Are you sitting him for? All
right.
Of it, part
that,
of it.
That's the
unresolved
too.
Part.
So, or do you sit him for the whole game because you don't need him? I mean, that's kind of the thing. Is like I think they're in agreement that they don't need him to play against South Alabama, but if he can and get game time reps, and they think that everything will move forward in their favor and he's done everything off the field correctly, then it's kind of just that towing the line of are we doing the right thing, or is it going to become a bigger distraction after the game?
Well, and you got to do what's best for the kid.
Right.
And that should rule your decision making. And I think Scott Frost is that type of guy. He'll do what's best for the kid, but also realize there are consequences for actions, right? I mean, it's not been a pleasant 6 months with this whole thing. More from Frost here on Mo Washington's prep. That's what speaks to me. If they can play him, they will. It's going to be someone else's call. Coach Frost has said that before. He'll have his thought on it, but if it's up to Coach Frost, I think he'd play him, but it isn't completely up to Coach Frost. Here is Coach Frost on Mo's prep time this week.
Maurice has been doing a good job of practicing with the intention that he's going to play. I know it's out of – the ball's not in his court. It's in our court as a university and football program to decide. But he's been doing a great job doing everything we ask him through fall camp. So he'll be ready if that's the decision that's made.
So really we get down to the question here. If you're making the decision as a Nebraska fan, would you play him? Do you want him to play? And can tweet at us at Schmidt_radio, at @2birds1stone. Can email chris@hailvarsity.com or dial us up at 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You know, innocent till proven guilty on things. Mm-hmm. And I would, man, I'm putting the headset on right now. If I feel like he's done everything he needs to do since the marijuana situation, I know those things were dropped since this legal process has began. If I think that he has grown up, he's owned up, and he's a different dude, just from a maturity and decision-making standpoint, if he's put the work in, if he's kept his mouth shut, if he's put his nose to the grindstone. Remember, he was a limited participant. I mean, he didn't get reps with regular consistency in spring, and he did not play in the spring game. So has he done enough to get back on the field? And if you're as a head coach, if you feel like he's done that and you get the thumbs up from your superiors, then I guess go ahead and play him. Now, how often and how much do you play him? That's the question, because you don't need him. You have other options on Saturday against South Alabama. I mean, it's weird too, because from a perception standpoint, if he doesn't play against South Alabama, things are still unresolved on the 3rd of September. What do you do moving forward? Because he's a guy that can and will help you against Colorado. He's a guy that can and will help you against Big Ten competition. He's a difference maker in this offense. But I don't think Coach Frost is the type of guy to play someone and put somebody out there if he doesn't feel like he's worthy or deserving or being the right teammate or the right type of guy. He wouldn't put up with somebody for the sheer fact he wants to beat Colorado, or he wouldn't put up with somebody just for the sheer fact that he wants to take Ohio State down the last week into September. He's a lot like Osborne, in my opinion, where he is trying to do what's best for the kid, and what's best for Maurice Washington is being around a group of guys in this club and being a guy that can mature and grow up. I mean, we all need to do it, and Mo's done things. You just heard Coach Frost touch on it, Colton. He's done some things that, you know what, are better and different than maybe what had been going on earlier in his career.
Yeah, and I think part of this too is that, you know, we don't know exactly what other like protocol they've had him follow behind closed doors, what other programs he's potentially gone through, what other help he's maybe sought out with the professionals they have at the university, and maybe outside help. So that's the tough part, is that
if any, right?
If any, right? So that's the tough part, is that we only know what Frost tells the media, and we kind of only know what the surface is, and it's not like he's going to come out and just, you know, spill everything if he doesn't have to, because that's not the kind of person he is.
Between him and his player.
Right, and he's protecting his player and making sure that things don't get out that can be twisted the wrong way. So it'll be interesting to see, like, what the final say is, but it may not come down till 10:59 a.m.
Well, yeah, he may be suited up. He may not play.
Right.
He may not be suited up. He might be in street clothes. And how does Mo react to that? I think that there's all possibilities on the table, and the communication's been right there with Washington. Do we have time to squeeze in Frost's comments? Let's try to do it on the suspensions with Hunt and Legrone. No new news here, and Coach Frost didn't go into any further detail on the tight end and wideout.
No, I know Troy announced it yesterday. It was his day up with the media, and we felt like we needed to be transparent and let you guys know. I don't have anything else to say other than the two kids, Andre and Katerian, have been suspended indefinitely, and that's all we can do and all I can say.
That is telling to me that there's been not much commentary, very tight-lipped on this, and that's where Coach Frost is with it, with a couple of his guys. You hear the term and talk about culture, and I think the culture's better at Nebraska, but you've had a lot of off-the-field run-ins. That has not gone unnoticed by some Nebraska fans, and you can show and tell kids how to act, but eventually they got to make their own decision on things, and we'll move forward. We'll talk with Parker Gabriel next. Lincoln Journal Star joins us on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here at Seacrest Field ahead of Burke and Southeast. Things will get kicked off at 7. Number of D1 prospects on both sides of the ball for each squad. We welcome in with the Lincoln Journal Star, Parker Gabriel, covers Nebraska football at Husker Extra PG on Twitter is where you follow Parker. Parker, it's finally here, man. It's game week. How are you?
I'm doing well, Schmitty. How are you?
I'm good. I've got air conditioning in the booth here, but I've got the window open because I got the best of both worlds here. I just need some warm-ups to start happening. We've been warming up for 2019 for a while. Once spring ball yeah. ended, and South Alabama, not the sexiest of opponents, but Boulder looms. And what are you looking at for Saturday here? What are two things you have, like, in the back of your mind or even written down that – are kind of musts for Nebraska in this opener?
I think for the most part, you want to just see, you know, as clean a play as possible. And Scott Frost said today, you know, you don't always, you're rarely going to see as, you know, as clean a play in week one as you know, hope that you're seeing down the road. But I think just, you just want to see sort of a clean, efficient outing. Obviously, if you can put the game away early, all the better. But, you know, clean, efficient. I'm interested in, I guess, watching the front seven defensively in general. I'm intrigued by the defensive line. There's been a lot of talk and the depth there and all of that. So don't get me wrong, I think that's interesting. I'm almost more interested in the linebacker level just to see what that looks like right out of the gate. And then some of the new guys, you know, new guys who will have big roles, guys like Cameron Juergens and Wandale Robinson, Canavai Noah. And, you know, so I think that you just, for me, it's a little bit about getting eyes on individual players that we've heard a lot about but haven't seen a lot of. And then you're just sort of looking for crispness after that.
You know, crispness in a clean ball game. And, you know, are you able to make some strides and kind of translate what's been preached, and that is more turnovers, better pass rush, good against the run, all those things they want to be better at defensively in 2019. Does it happen against an outmanned opponent that's on paper? When you look at Nebraska, Parker, and I like your front seven thoughts because I think they'll be major for Nebraska as the year moves forward. I'm anxious to kind of see where this offense is at. There's been a lot of talk of tempo and second year and understanding and comfort and all of that. But with Nebraska, they they'd probably just kind of just get in, get out, hand the ball off, hit a couple of seam routes or go deep a couple of times and get everyone healthy. They're not going to show a couple of aces at all. It'll be pretty vanilla on Saturday, don't you think?
Yeah, but I think that even vanilla can be dangerous. I mean, there's something to be said for the offense playing a bunch of series at that tempo, and I know that they, you know, feel like they do a good job of replicating that in practice, and they probably do, but there's no substitute for game action in that, and there's no substitute for just, you know, whether it's South Alabama or Alabama or, you know, whatever, anybody else, the process of playing a series, going to the sideline, getting adjustments, coming back out, reading defenses, all of that, like, it's all valuable, and you only get, you know, you only get 12 guaranteed games of that each year, and so I think you just, for the offense, even if they don't show a lot, and I think you can make the same claim for the defense, you know, even if it's relatively straightforward what Nebraska puts out there, you want to execute it at a high level, you want to get in that game rhythm and get settled in and play really fast, and then, you know, and then have something good to build off of. And obviously the goal is to have a win to build off of, and then a lot of good stuff after that, you know, headed to Boulder next week.
That's kind of where my mind is at. I'm excited that the season's here. Yes, it's college football, the season opener. They're always special in Lincoln. But, man, Boulder is going to be incredible. You can't emphasize how important momentum will be early in the year. You get a good win at home, and get out of the game healthy, and then you take that west to Colorado. It could be important, and it could be a nice springboard versus trying to manufacture it. Let's talk Maurice Washington, and I know Coach Frost, after practice today, didn't have a decision yet, and it's going to be kind of a game time thing. If you're using Colton's money, not my money, not your money, how are you betting? We see Mo, or we wave at Mo in street clothes?
Yeah, I have a really hard time with that. I guess if I was betting Colton's money recklessly, I would lean I would lean toward not playing. Mm-hmm. But man, it's just a hunch. It's a decision that's going to be made outside of just the football offices. You know, I'm sure that, you know, Scott Frost is involved in that conversation, but so are other people who are not directly, you know, football staffers. And so it's really hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of, at some level, I think I appreciate what Scott Frost says about, we just want to make the best decision for everybody involved. And everybody is, you know, not only Maurice and not only the Nebraska football team, but the university and the alleged victim and, you know, literally everybody involved. But I do think that there's some calculus involved, you know, and I don't know how much anybody knows about whether there could be a settlement at hand when at the next court hearing on Wednesday or perhaps not or whatever. And so, you know, I mean, it'd be hard to play him, and then it'd be hard to say, okay, suspended, and then have the thing drag out for 10 weeks still and say that this situation rises to the level of being suspended for an entire season or something like that. And on the same token, I can understand how, you know, somebody might not be comfortable putting him on the field until this is resolved. And if you're Maurice Washington, you can understand why you wouldn't just want to say, get this thing over with, I'll agree to something, when it's his livelihood and his reputation on the line. And so there's a lot of moving parts, and I don't know if there's a clean resolution to be made in the next 24 hours, but something I think obviously will happen before the game starts.
Yeah, you'll get some sort of answer one way or the other when 11 o'clock hits. Next week, with the court schedule, can you anticipate something getting resolved, or is there another extension on this thing? Is it pushed back again? Does this thing just drag on, or do you think, again, Colton's money, that there is some sort of resolution here? Because you know how things are in the legal world. It's a different timeline.
Well, I think that's, I mean, yeah, it is a different timeline. And the priority of the Santa Clara County Superior Court is not the Nebraska football schedule, obviously. It doesn't need to be. And so I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, let's put it this way. If there's not an agreement or a settlement of some kind, resolution's not coming on Wednesday, I don't think. I mean, mm-hmm. as far as I know, it's still a preliminary setting.
Right.
And Maurice Washington hasn't even formally entered his plea yet. And so my sort of rudimentary understanding of the California process would be that if there's not a plea agreement, or if there's not a settlement, or if, you know, the case isn't getting thrown out or whatever, short of that being what ends up happening on Wednesday, it's not like, you know, it's not a Law and Order episode. You don't go in and plead and then have the whole trial in the next 25 minutes. So that, unless there's something arranged between the two sides, and if there was, then the natural thing to happen, I think, would be for that arrangement to be presented on Wednesday in the courtroom. But outside of that existing, it would not seemingly be resolved on Wednesday.
Parker Gabriel's joining us. Hail Varsity Radio at Husker Extra PG is where you follow him on Twitter. Couple of minutes here, Parker. Quick rapid fire with you. How many sacks does the Nebraska defense have Saturday?
Four.
Okay. Turnover numbers. Nebraska is plus or minus on the turnover front.
You're just talking on Saturday?
Yeah.
Plus three.
Plus three? All right. And third down. Nebraska is going to do what defensively on third down?
Let's say Nebraska holds South Alabama to 5 of 16 on third down.
Look at you. All right. Have you put in ink the win-loss? Have you made your prediction yet?
Yeah. In our special section, which came out on Sunday, I think I picked 8-4 with a bowl loss. And if I remember correctly, I think as a total shot in the dark, I picked a bowl loss to Texas A&M in the Outback Bowl in Tampa.
Okay. All right. So
8-5, 8-4 regular season, 8-5 overall.
Okay. So their signature win of 2019 is who?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll take Iowa on Black Friday.
Okay. That works. They're near upset. Is it Ohio State?
I think a near upset, and it's so hard to say what the line will be. I'll take Wisconsin as a near upset.
Gotcha. All right. So you got Bucky winning in Lincoln again.
Yeah, my thinking, and the only reason, it's so hard to know. I mean, we don't know what either team's going to look like come November. My only thinking on that is that I like the improvements that Nebraska's made on defense. I don't know, given the depth, and it's always possible that they you know, generate some depth and create some depth over the course of the season, but I think that stopping the run by mid-November will still represent a challenge.
It could. Absolutely could. You're going to get battered and bruised in the Big Ten West and East. Parker, we'll maybe see you here at Seacrest later. If not, we'll catch up on Saturday. Thanks for a few minutes, man.
Yep, fish, mate.
See ya. There he is, Parker Gabriel, Lincoln Journal star. Quick reminder, seatbelts prevent excessive injury. When your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry, that applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or backseat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Coach Lamangi with Omaha Burke, up next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back in, let's get caught up with head coach for Omaha Burke, Paul Lamangi. And coach, congrats on the state championship last year. And your guys have finished up the camp season, and now it's game week. How are the fellas looking?
Yeah, I appreciate the accolades that we got last year, but this is obviously a new year. You know, we feel we got a good, tough team. We've had a very, very demanding offseason, you know, starting in January and into the summer. We worked the kids pretty good. They worked hard, you know, with lifting and conditioning and speed work. And I think they're excited to hit somebody else. So you know, anytime you start a new year, it's an exciting time, and you know, we're ready to go, I think.
Tell me about the seniors you have coming back that had that taste of a title. What type of leadership have they displayed so far?
Yeah, leadership was obviously is a concern every year, but was a little bit of a bigger concern this year because we've really lost a couple good leaders from the last couple years, leaders that we had for, you know, not just last year, but the year before as well. So we knew coming in that our seniors would have to pick up that part of our culture, and I think they've done a good job. It's an ongoing process, but, you know, we got some guys who've really contributed last year, you know, Xavier Watts, Austin Doherty, Jalen Starks, Caleb Robinson, Jalen Roussel. You know, we got some guys that understand what it takes to be successful, and slowly but surely they're kind of getting that going. You know, once game week officially started, you know, a couple days ago, you really saw them turn it up a notch. I mean, you can tell something exciting is about to happen, and the anticipation of a big game is there, and we're happy where we're at.
Paul Lamangi, a few minutes with us here. We're talking about Burke and Southeast kickoff coming up at 7 o'clock. So, Coach, guys either kind of get thrown into a role or they're groomed through playing time. And with four starters back on each side of the ball, you're going to have new faces. Who are some of the new names that are going to maybe see more minutes, more time, more of a role that you're excited about?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it starts with our quarterback, Reed Burke, who's going to make his first start with us tonight. And you know, he's a really good kid, great knowledge of the game. But we're going to, you know, what we're waiting for is how he's battle tested. And we're not going to really see, you know, what we need to work on and see what we got until it's game time. So we're excited to see how he plays. He seems to really get a good grasp of what we're trying to have him do with distributing the football. So it'll be exciting to see how he plays tonight. And then, you know, we got a kid, our running backs, you know, Jalen Roussel, Tyrese Wynn, Tonio Clark are three kids that, you know, didn't have to carry the ball too much last year because of James Burks. And you know, we're looking to see what they have to offer. And they've had good camps. And I think they're going to be good players. So, you know, we're anxious to see how they play. Up front, we got a new center in Cal York. He's a senior. He's a big, strong kid. He had a great offseason. We got Chris Graham playing at tackle and defensive line. We're excited about him and see what he can do. You know, in the secondary, you know, Michael Payne returns at corner, and then the other corner position is going to be a combination of a couple guys, David Moriano, Clayton Jackson, Trevor Lampkin. So, you know, both sides of the ball are going to have some new experiences going on that I think they're ready to go, but I also know it's going to be a progression for these guys, and you know, we just got to take them one at a time and see how we do. Also, we're returning a kicker. Colin Urban is a kid that we got out this year. He's a bit of a surprise. He has a really strong leg, pretty accurate with PATs and some short field goals, so we're excited about him.
You know, that's a luxury that not a lot of folks get at the high school level, having a trust and kind of an automatic when it comes to the kicking game, because there's so many tight ball games in high school. When it comes to the kicking game, you see a lot of missed extra points or a lot of field goals that don't go through the uprights. You feel pretty good about that factor, though, on special teams, it sounds like?
We do. So, you know, that's going to be a little bit of a bit of a surprise for us, because we thought we really had to, you know, really find somebody that maybe was going to be inexperienced and hopefully be good at the end of the year. But we think, you know, Colin is going to be pretty solid right from the get-go.
Coach, I got to ask you, and Paul Amanji, kind enough to give us a few minutes here. Identity on offense, what do you want to hang your hat on offensively? I know you got Watts, that's a phenomenal player. And then also on the defensive side of the ball, what do you believe the identity is or can be for your kids this year?
Sure, it's always the same. You know, on offense, we want to run the football. We want to establish the running game. We want to establish some physicality. But we also know and understand we got some weapons out wide that we got to distribute the ball to, and we'll do that. We're going to use one to set up the other and, you know, just get the ball in our playmakers' hands, whether that be our running backs, our receivers, our slot receivers, our quarterback. We just need to establish a physicality on that side of the ball, an attacking style where we – you know, we're going to try to score on every play. Obviously, that probably isn't going to happen, but that's our mentality going in, to be physical defensively. You know, we're sticking with our – we have a couple different fronts we like to use. We like a three-man front, then we'll switch into a four-man front depending on the formation. But on defense, we want to sprint to the ball. We want to swarm. We want to get 10 guys to the football with a counter-reverse bootleg player who's kind of just making sure it's on a trick play or a cutback, and want to be physical on that side too. And, you know, we want the guys to be able to communicate and react quickly, because we know – you know, we're facing a very challenging opponent tonight.
And as we wrap up, Paul Amanji with us. Coach, your thoughts on Southeast? I know you guys played each other a year ago, new team, different year. But thoughts on Coach Catula and his squad?
Yeah, we think they're going to be one of the better teams in Class A this year. We really do. I think they're, you know, well coached, and they got some, you know, some really talented guys, and they're just huge. They're a big football team, and they got physicality, and they got some really good guys coming in that weren't on the team last year that I think are going to be difference makers. So we know going in that they're going to be a great challenge, and we know they're going to be excited. And, you know, we know that they have had us circled on their you know, weight room wall for a while. So we have to expect that, and we have to be ready for that.
Coach, is the target different with a title under your belt? That target on your back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, now we got to – you know, at first it was all about defending the title, and then you know, a couple months ago I said, the heck with that, you know, let's go on to that attack. You know, let's not wait for nothing. Let's not, you know, sit back on our heels. So we're going to be on that attack again, and whether we have a target or not, we just got to go get our opponent as best we can and be ready to play. And, you know, and it's football. You know, we just want to go out and play as hard as we can for as long as we can and let the chips fall where they may, and hopefully good things happen. Know it's a process. Want to be playing our best football in November, and you know, that's how we take it.
Coach, best of luck. Thanks for a few minutes.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Coach Lamanji of Omaha Burke. Burke and the Knights kick off. We're here at Seacrest Field ahead of game time, and we'll hear from Coach Catula. Hail Varsity continues. Hour 2 around the corner, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, we're here at Seacrest Field ahead of Burke and Southeast. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to Burke's head coach, Paul Amanji. We'll talk with Coach Catula of Southeast around 5:40. Gary Barnett is coming up at 5:05. We'll get his thoughts on the Big Ten West and the Big Ten race in the East and get some predictions from Coach Barnett. Maybe dive into them Buffs a week early with Coach. And excited, we will give you a chance to register for the longest drive competition at the Graduate tomorrow and the Nebraska-South Alabama game. We'll do that here in a moment. Colton, let's hear from Joel Klatt. He made his declaration on the West. Here's what the Fox commentator and analyst had to say.
I've landed on Nebraska, guys, but part of that is their schedule. I don't think that there's any division in college football that the schedule is as impactful as in the Big Ten West. Because of the strength of the East, in particular with those top three, four teams, If you get the right year where you miss those teams, you're going to have a great chance to win that division. This year, that's Nebraska. They miss Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. They get Ohio State, yes, but it's at home. Then they're in division schedule. They're going to host Wisconsin. They're going to host Iowa. They're going to host Northwestern. To me, that's the most advantageous schedule, which is the reason why I picked them. Even though I think Northwestern's defense is going to be tremendous, I think Iowa is going to be right there. I really like Wisconsin. I think Jonathan Taylor's got a chance to win the Heisman Trophy. This division is loaded, yes, but Nebraska's got the schedule to potentially pull this off.
Okay, there you go. It's not a new take with why folks are thinking Nebraska, and you can kind of narrow it down to, you know, A, B, and C as to why you'd say, well, I think Nebraska is going to win the West. Schedule's a big part of it, and you can beat teams because you've got the home field advantage. I lean more towards the quarterback advantage Nebraska will have over most, if not all, teams in the Big Ten. I love that, and I think Coach Frost and what he's got his guys doing, I think they're really hungry and they're ready to rock and roll. So we will have our win-loss predictions tomorrow, myself and Jay Moore. Colton Stone, we are going to hold you. You can go pencil, but we'll get your win-loss number because I know you're out tomorrow. So we'll have our thoughts. Joel Klatt says it's Nebraska to win the West. And we'll put ink to paper. We'll do that tomorrow. Okay, so Gary Barnett's on the way, and we'll run down Brandon Vogel, Coach Katula of Lincoln Southeast. Chance of rain a little bit later. We're here at Seacrest Field ahead of Burke and Southeast, excited for high school football to get kicked off 2019, and lots to talk about with Coach Barnett. All right, let's take callers 4 through 8. Callers 4 through 8 right now. You get qualified for the longest drive competition. We're on the road at the Graduate tomorrow from 4 to 6, 9th and P. Your chance to get qualified for Nebraska and South Alabama tickets when you get down to the Graduate 4 to 6 tomorrow. But callers 4 through 8, you're entered in the longest drive competition, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Callers 4 through 8. 4 through 8 now. Get a shout to Colton. We'll get you registered for that longest drive. A quick timeout. Hour 2. Gary Barnett next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. On the road right now at Seacrest Field, getting ready for a major showdown in Class A high school football. We'll have that call later tonight over on KFOR at 7. Southeast and Burke, should be an awesome football game. Tomorrow we are on the road at the Graduate, 9th and P. We'll give you a chance to win some Nebraska South Alabama tickets and your chance to participate in the longest drive competition with the Top Golf Simulators. We welcome in longtime coach at Northwestern in Colorado and a guy that can swing it off the tee box, Gary Barnett. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
Well, Chris, what's going on in Nebraska?
Man, it is finally about time to get this season, this hyped up season, kind of translate it from paper to pads, right? And that's what's going on. There's excitement that the season's here, but there's a lot of look ahead going on with the fan base of what's happening next week out in your neck of the woods in Boulder. You tell me, Coach, what's it been like in Colorado this week as you guys get ready for Colorado State tomorrow night?
Well, I noticed you weren't offering Colorado-Nebraska tickets in your little thing that you've got going tonight. South Alabama probably a little better, easier to get rid of than or have a few more of those than you do the others. But you know, with Mel Tucker and his group is, you know, they're going to play a team in Colorado State that's a hungry team. It's revamped everything, and you know, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be more players on the field from Georgia between these two coaches than there are from Colorado in this game. It's absolutely amazing. So, you know, this team is this team's interesting, and it's you know, it's a work in progress, but it's totally different than what the team was a year ago, just in its attitude. So, it's going to be an interesting season, I think, over here in Buffland.
How has that attitude changed in Buffland? And I know you got Coach Tucker's pedigree, right, with Bama and Georgia, but there's results that need to happen. But guys, it sounds like that he's connected well with them. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And you know, he's demanding. He's very demanding, and his staff is very demanding of the way they carry themselves on the field and the way they practice. And I mean, if you're banged up, you get up and find a way to get to the sideline. You do not hang around and wait for the trainers to get out there. And every drill, every practice starts with a very physical drill. So, you know, it's I'm sure it's part of the mentality that both Nick and Georgia and Urban Meyer, and maybe more Nick and Georgia, you know, have. And you can see where, you know, if you got the players of the category of the standards that those two teams have, and they're as tough as they make them, and as Mel's trying to make this group, then you can see why they're tough to beat and why they're better than everybody else.
Gary Barnett's joining us, Hail Varsity Radio, as we're talking some college football. Coach, your quarterback, Joel Klatt, we had some thoughts from him a little earlier, and he has landed on Nebraska. We talked to him media days, and he wasn't ready to declare a West favorite. He thinks Nebraska can win the West because of their schedule. Yes, Nebraska has talent. The West is very balanced. The Big Ten as a whole is very deep and pretty good. Don't know if there's a top-heavy favorite. If you were to lean one way in the West before we kick things off on Saturday, who do you like? Are you leaning Wisconsin? Do you like Northwestern to repeat? Do you think Nebraska's got something special? Just kind of a shot in the dark right now. What do you think for the West?
Chris, you think I'm going to bite on that worm you're dangling down there?
It's a giant guppy.
I was born at night, but not last night. I'm not dangling on that thing. It's too early to say.
Okay.
I'm not biting on that worm. So you and Joel figure that out. I'm in the mode. It's so dang hard to win one game that I'm not about to look ahead that far, much less to involve a conversation around Northwestern and Nebraska at this point in time.
That's
so,
fun.
just don't do that to me now. Come on.
I know. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. I'm just wondering here, because you've been in the Big Ten, obviously, and you look at where things are kind of projected. How did you approach expectations with your kids, be it in Colorado or Northwestern, when there's noise outside, noise that you're supposed to be pretty good, or noise that maybe no one's counting much, thinking much of you? I mean, did you have to answer a lot of questions about that as a coach from your kids?
Well, you didn't get a lot of questions from the kids about that kind of stuff. It's mostly media driven and mm-hmm. some fan driven. But you realize how much difference there is between those on the inside and who know and those on the outside who project and think they know. I mean, it is vastly different. So you've got to take all that with a grain of salt, and you know, you've got to constantly pound your kids with, you have to take care of this day. And that comes down to leadership in your locker room, and it comes down to leadership in the huddle. whether or not your seniors are buying into that, and that's what they're doing, trying to keep everybody into the next play that's called rather than the next game or the season that's coming up. So, you know, it's hard, and with social media, it's really hard, I'm sure. But deep down, kids know. The kids know they shouldn't be thinking that way. And you just have to, you know, develop the leadership in your program. And then the coaches, everybody's got to send the same message. Everybody touches your kids throughout the day has to send the same message. So it's you know, constantly pounding humble and hungry into your program and into your kids.
Gary Barnett, a few minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. What was it like for you? It's day this day and then worry about the next day tomorrow. I get it. Don't look ahead. Eat what's on your plate. But as coach at Colorado, the fact you're playing in-state rival Colorado State, and then you had Nebraska every year. Coach Tucker's got Colorado, Nebraska next week after the rival kicks off tomorrow night. Did you enjoy having that opportunity where you had to beat an in-state rival and then try and go get Nebraska? Did you appreciate that schedule, or did it wear you out?
Well, I just, you know, I always said, we'll play Colorado State at the end of the year, and then there won't be so much hype, and there won't be so much, unless both teams are really good by the end of the year. They're a lot better in the first game than they are the last game. You know, and it's just like Mel Tucker said today, or this week in the one of his press interviews, he said, I haven't heard our kids talking about Colorado State being a rival. And he says, we know, coaches know, but it's one of those games for Colorado that if you win it, you just win it. It's no big deal. If you lose it, it's disaster. And it's just a hard game to be prepared for. And it's, you know, like I said, if you want to call it a rivalry, play it at the end of the year. Don't play it the opening game because everybody thinks that Colorado has much better players than CSU. I mean, that is the general attitude. We have better players, therefore they should win. And once you bite on that worm, you're done because it just doesn't work that way. And, you know, people don't realize that those kids are recruited and they're on scholarship and they have training table and their coaches look at film and they look at film. They practice hard. They make the same commitments. They lift the same weights. You know, there's not much difference, really. So it comes down to who's ready to play the game and who prepares humbly against the opponent. If you really respect them and you prepare like this is the last game you're ever going to play, then you've got a really good chance to win the game. But after that, that's all it's guaranteed. So that's the problem. And again, it goes back to what I was saying. Those who are inside a program or locker room and coaches and football that know that, and those that are on the outside that just sort of see numbers and just sort of read all the hype that's in the papers. And then, I mean, our papers here, hype like you guys do. I read the Nebraska paper every day, and I read how you hype all the Nebraska players. Where our people are doing the same things now. So everybody has his set of expectations, like these guys are Superman. And then all of a sudden, Friday night or Saturday afternoon, they're not so much. So, or they may. It just depends on how they, whether or not they humbly prepared themselves.
Gary Barnett's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, what's the atmosphere like kind of leading up? You got Colorado State tomorrow night, but around Boulder, I mean, the Nebraska game, I know we're talking about humbly preparing for what's in front of you. But you got Nebraska, Colorado next week. Has it continued to intensify, or has it hit pause for a moment because of the in-state game?
Well, coaches and players hit pause.
Right.
Fans can't wait until the Nebraska game. So the Colorado fans all think that the CSU game, because what I said earlier, we're supposed to have better players, so therefore we should win. So they're already in the mode for Nebraska. So it's going to be, you know, I was there last year, as you know, for the atmosphere that was in Memorial Stadium, and it was awesome. It's going to be the same kind of atmosphere in Boulder in 8 days or 9 days. So everybody in town is looking forward to it. Everybody in the state's looking forward to it. And we'll just, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I just, you know, I hope it's good, clean fun. That's all I hope for.
Well, there's going to be a lot to talk about next week with you about Nebraska, Colorado.
No, I'm not coming on next week.
What? Hold on a minute.
I'm kidding you. So.
We are. Well, bring a gift card. Gary Barnett's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, I got to ask you about some of the matchups this week. We always talk games. UCLA at Cincinnati. That line's -2.5. Fickell's done a good job with Cincinnati.
Well, you know, Luke Fickell's, if Urban Meyer doesn't come out of retirement, Luke Fickell's the head coach at Ohio State.
Yep.
So this is a good coach that's gone into a storied program where there is in the middle of a really good recruiting area. So this is a pretty good team, and I think it's pretty interesting that they're favored, and I sort of agree with it because, you know, going that far from UCLA and into an environment that they're not used to being in, you know, and a team that struggled all year but came on in the end. So you don't really know what you got in UCLA, but I sort of like the mentality that Cincinnati has had and the way they play.
Northwestern at Stanford, and Coach Fitz is not going to name his quarterback till the ball's kicked. Stanford at the Farm is really talented. Northwestern, you're defending division champs. What do you think of this one?
Well, without talking to Fitz about this issue, when you transfer the number one rated quarterback from a program like Clemson, and he's not your starter, I think there's a message there. I think there's something going on that probably everybody else picks up on as well. And, you know, the statistics on the quarterback at Stanford, Costello, his stats are better than the kid at Oregon who's being projected as the number one player taken in the draft, number one quarterback taken in the draft next year. So I think Fitz has got his hands cut out, you know, his work cut out for him, but he's got a good team that's going in there. He's got a good defense that's going in there. So this is, you know, I love the matchup. You know, I love it this time of year. You know, I'd love to see those two teams play every year. Now that'll give you something to work for over the off season. So, and I think Stanford 6.5. I think that's about right. It's a home team. I think that they're a good football team, and I think that's about right. I see Stanford winning that game by about that score.
Coach, about a minute left. It's great to get caught up with you. Oregon, Auburn.
Yeah, what do you think, Chris?
I think Auburn's defensive line's insanely good. I think Herbert's really talented. And give me Auburn because of their pass rush. -3.5.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same mode. They're starting a freshman quarterback. I agree. If this game were Atlanta, there'd be no question in my mind it'd be Auburn. It's played in Jerry Jones Stadium, so, you know, Oregon lost their top receiver for about 6 weeks. Of course, he'll make it back for our game, but that's the way it works for us. But I agree. I think Auburn probably, you know, last year when Auburn and Washington played, that was one physical football game. And I sort of look for the same sort of thing here out of Auburn.
Coach, we will catch up with you next week. Look forward to seeing you in Boulder. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You got it, Chris.
Good luck, Coach.
This weekend.
All right. You guys too. There he is, Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We'll be out at Blur Parties, broadcasting Friday, Saturday. You can log on blurpartiesboulder.com and get your reservations with the Blur Parties as we're headed out to Boulder.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you here at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're at Seacrest Field. The lights are on. Things have clouded up a bit. Burke and Southeast ready to go here at 7 o'clock. We'll have that play-by-play over on Sister Station in Lincoln at KFOR. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, good stuff from Gary Barnett. Barney was a little feisty. He said he's not coming on next week with a laugh. I continued the bribery. We'll have him next week. And I was very sad that he would not answer who he thinks is going to win the Big Ten West. Joel Klatt said it's Nebraska, mainly because of their schedule. And Barney's like, no, I'm not touching that one with Nebraska and Northwestern. Pretty good stuff. We say hi to Brandon Vogel with HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogue's going to be good to see you this weekend back on the sixth floor at Memorial Stadium. What do you know? What's up, man?
It'll be good to see you as well. I know I'm pretty excited for that. I'm excited for the game to get rolling tonight as well. I'm really interested in that Minnesota-South Dakota State game. So it'll be good. We made it. Football is finally here.
We did make it, man. And there's a lot going into Saturday with Nebraska. There's so much potential. There's so much excitement and anticipation. What have you noticed just from feedback with folks? Yeah, they're excited about kickoff and football being back, but have you noticed a little bit of a fast-forward feel where we want Boulder to get here? Do you feel that a little bit?
A little bit. I think the season opener is always a little bit unique because it's the one that you wait all year for. And so that one, Nebraska for a long time obviously had the home opener or season opener winning streak. That fell by the wayside, but I still think you get a bit of excitement around that one. And in that regard, South Alabama can do some things. The spread is what it is. I think that's an accurate representation of kind of where these programs are at. So in that regard, Nebraska will get a little bit of a chance to try some here, I think, and probably come away with a win. And then, you turn your attention to what should be a pretty live opponent. I'll be interested to see Colorado Friday night in action, too, see what they look like under Mel Tucker.
If you, and I didn't ask Barnett this, maybe I'm chicken, but if I were going to that game, wouldn't you bring a gas mask? I mean, based on history?
Yeah, I think so. The horror stories exist for a reason. I actually never took in a Nebraska Colorado game.
I'm talking CSU Colorado, like the tear gas that's dispersed at halftime.
Yeah, that one gets a little rowdy too. Which is good. Rivalry games should be that way. You always hope nobody gets hurt, of course, be that in the stands or on the field. But I like that. I kind of like that traditional, I know it doesn't go back a long time. They just kind of recently revived it. But that season opener between the two teams in Colorado, that's always a good way to start the season.
Well, and you got the feats of strength match between Tucker and Bobo, too. Two Georgia guys, I'm interested, too, for Nebraska and just where Nebraska kind of dominates. They're supposed to dominate everywhere based on the spread and the offseason talk. What is the number one storyline you're interested in for Saturday with Nebraska?
Yeah, that's kind of the bar with one like this when you're looking at a spread that's over five touchdowns is kind of how good can you look doing what you're supposed to do. And for me, I think the first spot will be the run game. Nebraska was, by the end of the year last year, one of the top 15 rushing offenses in the country. If they're going to get to where they want to be, I think that has to continue. We'll get a look at some new guys, not just in the backfield, but on the offensive line. So that's going to be the first thing I look at. The other thing offensively will probably be I'm looking for this offense to make a few more big plays in the passing game. And, we know that this offense, when it's humming along based on what we saw at UCF, is plenty good at that. I think that's sort of the extra gear, the overdrive, so to speak, for Nebraska. If they're able to run the ball really well and hit those big plays in the passing game, that's that's a lot of problems for teams. And that's how you get an offense that averages, close to 40 points a game. I'm not quite ready to say Nebraska's going to do that this year, but I think that's where it's headed.
Don't you feel like they could do it? That's not fair to say, you're 42 a game, great, right? I mean, they made it look that easy down at Central Florida with some great players and a phenomenal scheme and all of that. And you look at Nebraska with who's on their schedule. We were talking with Coach Barnett, and we heard from Joel Klatt just about why he made his declaration, why he landed on Nebraska. And it was schedule. And you have more of an advantage with the teams coming to Lincoln versus having to go and be a road warrior with the odd season, odd being the odd year you get the main teams from the West at home. The swing that you make on the road is Purdue and Minnesota, that they've been really bad on the road for Nebraska in recent years. You know, if you were to give me the main reason you picked Nebraska for the West, where are you going? Is it schedule? Is it quarterback? Is it coach?
Yeah, I think schedule is always kind of worth looking at when you have those in-between decisions or where you got a host of teams that are tough to differentiate between. And that's certainly this year in the Big Ten West. But for me, it's a combination of the other two, and probably mostly quarterback when you're talking about the division race. You know, I think Nebraska has a very good chance to have the best quarterback play in the division, and maybe the conference. I don't think that's by any means way beyond reach. And if you're going to get that, you're probably going to be in the race. Obviously, the coach is a big part of it too. You just look around nationally for guys like Joe Klatt. Everybody sees it with Frost. So you combine those two things and make it a year two scenario. You know, I wrote about that back in the spring of how that. I mean, people kind of know that year two is when you make a move, but when you really boil down the numbers, there's the potential for a big jump, particularly when you're talking about coach year two and a starting quarterback year two. That's kind of two great tastes that taste great together. at least it has been in the past. So having all offseason to have thought about it and think about, okay, what's a realistic record for Nebraska? What's not? What I've kind of got to here 2 days before we actually kick this thing off is I think this season is one almost without a ceiling for Nebraska. There's almost no result on the high end that would totally surprise me. Now, you can't pencil in 11-1 and 12-0. That's just, it's not very probable, but it's certainly possible. And if that doesn't sound like a big deal, you know, just think back to some of these recent Nebraska seasons, even good ones, where maybe you start out at 18 in the preseason polls. You kind of hope that those things are possible, but I don't know if you could truly believe that, you know, 9-3, say, is exactly what it's going to be. So it's different in that regard for me. I just think there's, like I said, on the top end, almost no result would totally surprise me, and that's pretty unique.
They have, if it breaks right, they could put something special together, but that is, do you think Nebraska fans are kind of back to more of a humble spot? And not that Nebraska fans are overbearing or braggadocious. The ones you and I run into love their football, but I think you've kind of had a reset based on the fact that and it's been mentioned forever this preseason that they're 4-8, and it's been done by the coaches and by the players. I mean, everyone understands that, but it's real easy to forget that it's been 2013. Maybe it's not that easy to forget, I guess, but you just kind of feel like you're going to get back on the bike, don't you, Vogues, and start winning 10, 11 games a year?
Yeah, I think for the most part you do. And I think that, you know, whether we're talking about Nebraska or Oklahoma, you know, coming out of its stretch where it was down or any of those similar programs, that's kind of what having the history and titles and tradition of those schools gets you. Those schools do tend to come back. I would say Nebraska fans are probably a little bit cautious based on the the last two decades, you know, they've been through a couple of these cycles before where the future looked pretty bright, and then all of a sudden it didn't. So cautious would be the word that I choose for that. And, you know, the thing about a year two scenario is you kind of only get one of these where, yeah, you know, things are trending up, like this is your chance to make a move. And then either you did or you didn't. There's not a whole lot of middle ground there. And what happens beyond that really depends there. So if Nebraska does go, say, 9-3, whether they make the Big Ten West or the Big Ten title game or not, I think 9-3 would probably get them there. But even just going there, next year is going to be all about then expectations, because at that point you're probably starting the season in the top 15 at worst if Nebraska jumps from 4-8 to 9-3 in year two.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues will be doing a long drive competition over at the Graduate 9th and P tomorrow. Awesome to be back at the Graduate 4 to 6 on Home Football Fridays. Your chance at Nebraska-South Alabama tickets. My friend, Hale Varsity's teaming up with Kincaidr. You and I both like beer. Going to be a nice party in the rail yard going on. Have you had a chance to sample this yet? I got about a minute left.
I haven't yet. From the select few who have, I've heard pretty glowing reviews that it's kind of perfect football beer, pretty light drinking, but got a good grain character, which is always good for those lighter ales, at least for me. So I tell you what, it's going to be quite the kickoff to the football season tomorrow in downtown Lincoln. You know, we've got the beer release. You're going to be posted up at the Graduate. I'll be over there for a little bit. Got some stuff going on in the rail yard. So if you weren't already planning on being downtown, there's going to be plenty to do down there. So looking forward to it.
All right, give me a score, my friend, for Saturday.
Yeah.
You're like, shut up, ask me Saturday morning.
36.5 is a lot to cover, but I think Nebraska's going to get it done. I've got it Nebraska 49, South Alabama 10.
49-10. Wow. I love it. I do love it. Watch out for them Jaguar special teams, though, my friend. Yeah. Vogues, we will talk to you soon. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Thank you. Talk to you later. Right.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Southeast is in front of me as they get ready for Burke tonight. We're here at Seacrest Field kicking off high school football. Coach Gatula of the Knights next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in, ready to kick off high school football, and we welcome in head coach with Lincoln Southeast, Ryan Gatula. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How has fall camp gone, and are your guys ready for tonight?
Yeah, the guys we're ready to kick it off. They've had a great off season, some really good senior leadership from this group, and they're ready to find out, you know, what we got. We know there's some things that we feel like we're going to do really well, and I'm sure we're going to find some things that we need to continue to work on, but it's been a good fall camp and a good off season for us.
Let's talk about some of those things you're going to do well. What are you comfortable with at this point before the opener?
Well, I think, you know, defensively, we feel like we should be a solid football team. We have eight guys coming back that had starting experience from last year, and so, you know, we feel like we're maybe ahead of where we were last year on that side of the ball, and our offensive line has been very good. We got, you know, three starters back from last season up there and some really good leadership, and so I think anytime you play good defense and have the ability to run the football, that's going to put you in some good situations.
Ryan Gatula is joining us here as we get ready for Southeast in Burke tonight at Seacrest. Let's spend a bit of time on your quarterback, Shannon. Touch on some of his strengths and what folks will hear tonight.
Yeah, well, he's a guy that he can do a lot of different things. Very good athlete, talented runner, strong arm. And, you know, he's picked up our system really well. And so I think he can do a lot of different things for you. Colby Daffron, McGinnis Schneider, or a couple other guys that, you know, are very comfortable in our offense and have done a great job as well through fall camp. So really you could see any of those three guys.
Identity-wise, what do you want to be offensively? You mentioned three of the five offensive linemen back, and just knowing a bit of history about Southeast, it's always been physical football. I assume that's part of your makeup, but it looks like you got a bunch of playmakers at the skill spots, too. Do you feel like you have a good balance between that power and flash opportunity?
Yeah, we always strive for that. I think we want to be a physical football team and be able to run the ball. But on the other hand, we want to be multiple enough and balanced enough that, you know, depending on what the defense is, how they're going to defend us and what they're going to give us, we can take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. So, yeah, certainly we feel like, you know, we want to be a physical team, but we do have some guys on the outside and some quarterbacks that can make some plays for us as well.
Who are your captains this year?
Our captains are Isaac Gifford, Isaac Applegate, Carter West, and Xavier Trevino.
That's a lot of names people are familiar with, and you got a couple of the offensive linemen that are captains, specifically with Trevino and Carter West. And what have they brought from a leadership standpoint when we're talking about summer workouts and we're talking about getting ready for the fall? What have you seen from those two kids as they've kind of grown up in the program?
Yeah, well, I mean, they obviously have experience. Both of them have played varsity football since their sophomore seasons. You know, started every game for us last year, and really just more leadership by example. As far as, you know, those are guys that they don't miss a day in the off season, as far as in the weight room and our conditioning, and so just setting that example for everybody in our program, but specifically for the younger kids in our program. I think they've done a tremendous job of that.
Let's flip over to the defensive side, and I've enjoyed watching Isaac Gifford do his thing at the safety spot, also carrying the football for you, and he is so good against the run, but very athletic against the pass as well. Identity-wise, defensively, with these eight starters back, what can you do, and how effective do you think you can be getting to the quarterback?
Well, that's going to be big against a team like Burke. They have some dangerous weapons, especially on the outside. I think, you know, we have some experience in our secondary, and we expect those guys to play well. But anytime you can get a pass rush and do it without having to bring pressure, that's going to put you in good shape. And so, you know, we feel like our offensive line and our defensive line should be strengths for us, and we'll find out. We're certainly going to get a great opponent in Omaha Burke. Obviously, the defending state champs, they're going to have some great players and be a great test.
What's the mood you've sensed from your kids? I mean, everyone's excited to kick off the season, but you're kicking off the season against the defending state champs. Have you had to back them off, or have you liked the focus and vibe as you get ready?
Yeah, the focus has been pretty good. You know, the last couple days it's been, you know, kind of more of a sense of, as a coach, you feel like, okay, they're ready to play and they're ready to hit someone other than the guys in our own jerseys at practice. And so they're definitely ready to play. And some of the guys have been looking forward to this season, you know, their senior season for many, many months. So they're ready to get going.
You know, and you look at the number of starters that are back, and you've touched on kids that have started for you and played major snaps since their sophomore year. And what's it been like for you to kind of see them get to this point?
Well, it's awesome. We got a great group of kids, not just, you know, some pretty good football players, but some really good, really good people. They do a great job in the classroom. So just seeing that growth in them as individuals across the board is great to see as a coach.
What have you noticed about the two Eote kids that moved into the neighborhood?
Yeah, you know, they fit in really well. Very, very humble, very quiet kids, but they've picked up our schemes really quick. Obviously, good football players. They got a great background in the game, and they just fit in from the start as far as coming in April and then joining our summer lifting program. And so we expect you know, them to make a big impact on our team.
Coach Ryan Gatula is with us as we're talking Southeastern Burke. Last thought, kind of give us a rundown, some keys in your mind. Not the game plan, Coach, but some keys you think will be important for Thursday.
Yeah, well, obviously they're a great football team. That's why they're the state champions. I think they're very explosive on offense, and so we got to do a good job of limiting big plays. I don't think we did a good enough job of that last year. We got to be physical up front on both sides of the football, And, you know, offensively, we have to do a good job with ball security and maintaining drives. I think we can help our defense by, you know, the ball security and sustaining drives offensively. So I think those are kind of the keys from our standpoint. And the other thing, you know, we just want to see our kids play with great fundamentals. I think it always comes down to who's going to tackle the best and who's going to block the best. The game's really pretty simple when you come back to it, and so we want to see those things out of our kids.
How are you able to rep and get work in, but also be cautious, and I know you are, with kids? It's so important to tackle in football, but everything's in space now, and the offense wants to isolate the defense for as many one-on-one ops as possible. How do you drill that? How do you get your guys to be as proficient as possible tackling?
Yeah, I think our assistant coaches do a really good job of that in their individual technique time. We can work a lot of that technique without a ton of physical contact every day. Obviously, you got to have a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not going to be prepared for a game. But there's also a lot of things that they can do, basic technique and tackling technique to get them in a great position to make those plays.
Coach, we'll see you Thursday. Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Head man for the Knights, Ryan Gatula. Callers 5 through 8 right now. You qualify to be part of the long drive competition at the Graduate. 4 to 6 tomorrow. Hail Varsity on the road. We'll wind up from Seacrest right now. Hour 2 almost finished up. Callers 5 through 8 now. 466-3776.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That time again. Let's say hi to Deb, the spa lady, Home Innovation Spas. Deb, how many corn dogs have we had at the state fair?
I'm not even going to say. No way. I refuse to answer that. But it has been a wild ride here with all the rain and everything. We have stayed dry, luckily. And it looks like it's going to be a beautiful end to the fair all the way through Labor Day. So we're excited to really have the next few days, have people come out and check our booth out. We're both outside and inside. Come and see us when you're at the fair.
You have fair pricing always, but you have great fair deals now.
That's right. We are also honoring those state fair deals at our two stores, both in Lincoln and in Omaha. If you can't make it to the fair, you can still get those same great deals.
Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas. See her out at the state fair and get those fair state deals with Home Innovation Spas. Deb, thanks for a few minutes with us.
Okay, thank you. We'll talk next week.
You know, you got to love Deb the Spa Lady as Omaha Burke is out of their locker room, ready for warm-ups. We're here at Seacrest Field. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, ahead of high school football as the Knights and the Bulldogs get ready to get 2019 underway. And we'll have that in Lincoln on KFOR, KFORnow.com. Excited about that. So that's what's going on tonight. A reminder about your friends at Sauter, Heyman, Rick and the gang. We're going to take care of you this football season. When you spend $2,500, you get a free Traeger grill. Heat up your tailgate in more ways than one with Sauter Heyman and get her the jewelry she dreams of and instantly get rewarded with a Traeger grill this football season. Everyone wants a Traeger and the best in the market, just like Sauter Heyman. Locations for you, 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Log on now. SauterHeyman.com. Okay, so here is the scene. We're at Seacrest. Burke running some individual drills right now as Southeast is loaded up. We'll have a preview of the Knights. You heard from Coach Gatula of Southeast just last segment. Coach Lamanji of Omaha Burke was with us in hour one. Gary Barnett was fun tonight along, of course, with Brandon Vogel. Parker Gabriel got us going. Still no resolution on Maurice Washington. That'll be the kickoff decision by Coach Frost and the people above him with what happens there. We are at the Graduate tomorrow. Myself, Jay Moore. We've been telling you about this longest drive competition. You will not be teeing off against Jay Moore. The good folks at the Graduate have the Top Golf simulator suites. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the top 10, and whoever has the longest drive, you get a gift card. That's what you win, and you get your name, and you get to move on and defend your long drive title, Happy Gilmore style, right? Can also get there to the graduate tomorrow, 4 to 6, 9th and P. Put your name in the hopper for Nebraska and South Alabama tickets. Colton, we will for sure bump into each other over the weekend. What do you got for Nebraska on 2019? Do you got a number?
So for the Journal Star, my bold prediction was that they'd win the West. So I guess I've got to stick with that. I think I'm comfortable with 8, but I think to win it, they're going to need 9. So 9-3 is going to be my number. And I'm pretty confident that it's going to be between 8 and 9, but I'll take 9-3.
All right. Colton says 9-3. He's an award winner. Colton, you're awesome. Thanks for jumping on. Go see Jay Moore, myself tomorrow. Our predictions tomorrow for 2019 at the graduate. We'll see you. Thanks.